I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Let's pray America great.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Say it again.
Let us pray America great again. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're 10-8. We're on duty. Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense in the service and in the duty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Our Lady. Hey, Terry, welcome.
There's nothing better, Jesse, than doing that. What we're here to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Every single day on Virgin Most Powerful. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends about all the great shows we have. Jesse, let's start off with the gospel, which we always start off with. But we're going to have Cardinal Ratzinger back in 1985 with his book, The Ratzinger Report. I think a lot of people are going to go, what? I never heard of that book. Well, I was just a young man when that book came out. We're going to talk about that and much, much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. But first, let's get to the good news of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, Jess.
A leper came to him, that's Jesus, and kneeling down begged him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. Notice, that's all we as Catholics, that's one of our postures in private devotion and liturgically is kneeling down. That's the only thing that's befitting in the presence of Jesus Christ. And notice, here's a little bit of the sacrament of confession in action. Because the leper's saying, the leper's clean, unclean on the outside, his skin is rotting. But when we go to confession, we're rotting on the inside.
Right.
And that's why we need to kneel down when we confess. And notice the way the humility, he says, if you wish, you can make me clean. When you go to confession, that's exactly what we're doing. The priest and the person of Christ, we know we got internal leprosy. And we're saying, we know, Jesus, you can make me clean through this priest. Just like in the Old Testament, the Levites were also used in reconciling people to God. It says, moved with pity, this is Jesus, and the word pity also means mercy. That's where you get the word divine mercy. Moved with pity or mercy, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, I do will it, be made clean. Notice there's pray and touch. That's why in the Catholic sacramental system, the priest will always pray and touch in the sacraments. Why? Because the priest's hands are holy. My hands aren't holy. That's why as lay people, it's don't go around and telling lay people, hey, put your head on my head and pray over me. A lay person, their hands are not consecrated. You could ask a lay person, pray for me, but don't have them put their hands on your head because you're surrendering to their authority, which they don't have, A. And B, what if that lay person has spiritual diabolical baggage? That's called demonic transference.
Yep.
Now, even if a priest is not living his life, the fact is that his hands are consecrated and the graces flow from his office, not from his personal holiness. We continue. The leprosy left him immediately and he was made clean. That's what happens at confession, by the way, with the soul. Then warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. Then he said to him, see that you tell no one anything. That's called the messianic secret. Jesus Christ didn't want people to start saying, hey, this is the next King David. Get a white horse. Give him a sword and a breastplate. Let's go and beat up the Romans. Come on, Jesus, lead us in battle. That's why Jesus keeps saying, don't tell anybody about my miracles because you guys misunderstand what the Messiah is supposed to do. He's not a warlord. He's a prince of peace. And it says here, see that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest. That's the Levite priest in the Old Testament. And offer for your cleansing that what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. So notice the way the Levite priest even has a part in this. Just like the New Testament priest, the Catholic priest also has a part in the reconciliation as well. Jesus Christ is the high priest. We get that, Hebrews 3:1. But Jesus Christ still uses subordinate priests under him to continue what we would call the sacrament of confession. The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Of course, people kept coming to him from everywhere because people saw two things about Jesus. that they didn't see in anybody else. They saw that he performed miracles in his name. Oh, yeah, Moses performed miracles in God's name. Oh, yeah, Elijah performed miracles, yep, in God's name. Jesus performed miracles in what? In his name. And people also saw a second thing. They saw that the words of Christ, he had an authority that nobody else had. They'd never seen anybody speak like him. And they also saw the peace that they would feel when Christ would speak, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Jesus Christ also claimed to be able to forgive sins. The Jews knew, wait a minute, only Yahweh can forgive sins. Is he Yahweh incarnate? No, he can't be Yahweh incarnate. Yes, he was Yahweh incarnate. And Jesus Christ, he also said, well, you guys don't believe I can forgive sins? Then watch this miracle. So he would show and tell. He would say something, say, oh, you don't believe that I'm God incarnate? Okay, watch what I'm going to do now. Jesus Christ would speak, and then he would demonstrate by a miracle that he was, in fact, the divine Son of God, the eternal Son of God.
Jesse, great catechesis. I want to talk a little bit about original sin, and this is what Jesus Christ freed us from with baptism and then confession. So we all have leprosy when we come into the world. We're not perfect, okay? So look at that word leprosy and sin and see, just put sin where he says leprosy. I want to be clean. Right. How do we get clean? Go to confession, be baptized, right? Become a follower of Christ. Jess, good catechesis. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Full Sheen ahead. Jess, this fits right in to what you're talking about on the gospel because, you know, Jesus said without penance, you know, you can't get to heaven. So here's a topic, sacrifice and penance. Bishop Sheen says, unless there is love, sacrifice and penance will be felt as an evil, but not when love is there. So in other words, Jesse, those people who are committing suicide when they don't, at the end of their life, and they say, you know what? I don't want this penance. I don't want to offer up my suffering. I don't have love for God. And so I want to check out. And as Bishop Sheen pointed out, you know, unless there is love in your life, sacrifice and penance will be felt as an evil, but not when love is there. So that's the message of the world for the world today, is that without the love of God in our hearts, everything else makes no sense.
That's right. Terry, I want to remind the audience today is this month is the month of the holy name of Jesus.
I love it. Go for it.
So don't, you know, throughout this month especially, focus on just sending Jesus little prayers throughout the day. In the tradition of the church, those are called ejaculations. Just throughout the day, just say stuff like, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, come to my assistance. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, protect me. Jesus, set me free. Make sure that the month of January, especially the month of the holy name of Jesus, you really bump up your ejaculation prayer life, exalting the holy name of Jesus and calling upon his name throughout the day.
Well said. We've got a good news story, and tomorrow we've got Eva Montes from the March for Life in San Francisco. I know many of you are going to be going up there. She's going to be interviewed with us tomorrow, so keep that in mind. But here's the good news. We're making progress, folks. Listen to this. Florida committee passes bill requiring parental consent before teens can get an abortion. See, we're making progress. This is the third most populated state in the union. Florida has over 20 million people, okay, right behind Texas. And we're making progress. I just wish we had more progress in California because that's the one state that I live in, and I see it going the other way. But I know that there's I'll just be honest with you. I know who's running California. It's a bunch of secular Democrats. Okay, I said it. Now, Jesse, I want to just tell the people that there's a book that was published back in 1985 by Ignatius Press. It's kind of like what they're doing with Cardinal Seurat and Pope Benedict the 16th Emeritus. But back in 85, I was just in my 20s, Jesse, when this book came out. And it really was an exclusive interview on the state of the church. Now, I had just listened to Bishop Sheen called State of the Church, and it was very similar to what Cardinal Ratzinger said about modernism in the church. Now, this was 1985. Jesse, you were what, 3 or 4 years into being a cop? You were just a young man, were you not?
Yeah, young rookie cop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Here's what we're going to talk about is what's in that Ratzinger report and how it relates to today in 2020. And it's remarkable, Jesse, so many of the issues that Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger clarified, the modernists are still hitting us on. Like, for example, the example is liberation theology. What has gone on in South America? Now it's 25, 30 years later. And we're going to talk about what Ratzinger said through the church on why liberation theology is wrong. It's just wrong. And you know what? He was right, because look at the fruit of liberation theology. We saw it last October in Brazil when we heard about the guy saying, well, I've never baptized anybody in 25 years. I was going to free him from material liberation. What's the issue with sin? Well, that's liberation theology, and that's why it's wrong. And we're going to have much, much more to talk about with the former Pope Benedict XVI. When he was the prefect of the Doctrine of the Faith, this came out, and it rocked the world. And you know what, Jesse? I remember modernists in the church saying, oh, this is terrible. Don't read that book. Boy, every time they said that, I said, yeah, that's good. Keep saying that, because more people will read the book. But it was the bestseller that Ignatius had ever had by that time. It was the number one selling book. Why? Because it told the truth with charity.
That's right. Terry, just want to remind people that the month of January is the month of the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Miss the opportunity of saying the name of Jesus as often as possible. And don't forget today's gospel reading. Don't say, well, you know what? I don't got leprosy. I don't have to worry. You got something worse than leprosy. We all do. It's called sin. And we're all wrestling with it. And so I'll tell you one thing. Interior leprosy is more deadly than outer leprosy. So let's make sure we run to Jesus and the sacrament of confession as often as possible, especially if you're in mortal sin.
Clarity with charity. Can you hear it in Jesse's voice? I can. We'll be right back talking more about the Ratzinger Report back in 1985 and how it relates to us today.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Terry, this book, you turned me on to this book decades ago. I probably read the book about 20 years ago.
Good.
And here's some of the sound bites at the book. It's called The Ratzinger Report, published in 1985. Here's some of the things that it says.
Yeah.
It was an interview, an open interview with Cardinal Ratzinger, who was back then the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith under John Paul II, his right-hand man.
Exactly.
And I can tell you, it says here in the opening paragraph that it says the magisterium at Vatican II had in fact produced documents that became targets of rebellious theologians within the next 20 years, provoking eminent lay Catholic philosophers like Jacques Maritain and Diedrich von Hildebrand, who, by the way, I read an article, he railed against the Novus Ordo Mass, like there's a separate article that I have on him, among others, to complain of the collective bolt from orthodoxy. So you had... Yeah, some scholars out there that were saying, hey, there's a departure here. But here's the problem that was stated very briefly by Cardinal Ratzinger. The leaders of those many who lost their way were theologians, the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I mentioned one, Hans Küng. That's one, you know, Edward Skillebeck.
Yep.
I mean, there's a whole list of them that lost their way. Cardinal Ratzinger says, the early Ratzinger said this, who reserve for themselves the right to interpret the official church teaching according to their own willful escape from the magisterium's authority. So what happened is the modernists in the church, post-Vatican II, they set up a parallel at magisterium. And you know that who that was? They call that the spirit of Vatican II. Yeah. That was the universities and colleges and theologians. It says, according to Ratzinger, about the fruits of Vatican II swept through the church, that whole phrase, the fruits of Vatican II swept through the whole church, namely a progressive decadence that resulted in foiling the very benefits expected from the council, and all this under the guise of interpreting the spirit of the council rather than the true documents of the council that had produced. Ratzinger analyzed the progressive forces outside the church as partly complicit in foiling the work of Vatican II, but he also pointed to the trends by church theologians, again, in discrediting the documents of Vatican II. I'll say one thing from a practical level. I read all the documents of Vatican II I had to for my master's in Steubenville. And for example, I paid special attention to Sacrosanctum Concilium because that's the one on the Mass.
Liturgy, yep.
And Father Joseph Fessio has done outstanding articles on Sacrosanctum Concilium, which again, I've noticed one thing, that virtually nothing of Sacrosanctum Concilium has been implemented in the average Sunday Mass at the average Catholic parish. When I read Sacrosanctum Concilium, paragraph 114, Gregorian chant is supposed to be given pride of place. To 116, Latin is supposed to be given pride of place. Sacrosanctum Concilium assumes that the priest is celebrating ad orientem. You go to the average parish and I say, Has anybody read Sacrosanctum Concilium? Then I say to myself, the only person that's actually saying, hello, it's lonely out here. My name's Father Joseph Fessio. Here's what Sacrosanctum Concilium says. This is what Ratzinger's saying, is that, Terry, these theologians, they assume that none of us are going to read this. So they're saying, we're going to do whatever we feel like doing with the Mass, with the teachings of the church, because we're the smart guys with the PhDs, and no layperson's ever going to read these documents anyhow.
Just remember, if someone says in the spirit of Vatican II, this is what it says, run away from them because they're not telling the truth. Father Fessio is coming March 15th to the Sacred Heart Chapel to speak about that very thing, Jesse, the liturgy. And we've got some of experts from Adoramus. This is the organization he started. So I would encourage you to go to our website and register for the conference on the liturgy by calling. You can call 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and go under the conferences. Jess, I got to say one thing. When I read that book, throughout the book, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger said, the real problem in all this is our ecclesiology. And I was like, at the time, I go, what's ecclesiology? When I'm reading this book, Jess, I got an
intellectual Charlie horse.
Yeah. So I learned a lot. It's how you see the church, okay? Is it the Bride of Christ or is it the Optimist Club?
Well, the modernists look at it like the Optimist
Club. Exactly. And they go, look, so the church used to teach this for 2,000 years. So what? I got a better idea. I'm like Ford. Wrong. That's why here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio, you always hear us say, follow the perennial teachings of the church.
Notice that word Terry just said, perennial,
yep, important.
Which means what the church has taught everywhere, always, and in every place.
You got it. And so, Jesse, I have a line I always say, will the real Vatican II please stand up? And you just nailed it when you said for the liturgy, we're supposed to have Latin, the Gregorian
chant.
And also, you know what? Right in that document you referred to, the priest turns around and says, the Lord be with you. What does that imply? He's not facing you.
He's at Orientum.
Of course. And I'm going to say this, and maybe the bishop wouldn't want me to say it, but Bishop David, I talked to you the other day about the mass we had at their spiritual warfare conference, and you turned towards the crucifix and the altar when you were saying prayers to Jesus. He said, yes, it was natural for me. I wasn't praying to you. And you see, I said, well, that's ad orientem.
Because it's in his soul.
Exactly, it's in his soul.
Bishop David O'Connell, he probably remembers, and again, it's just called that sensus fidelium.
That's right, Jess.
He just quite naturally turned to the crucifix and led us in prayer ad orientem at the spiritual warfare conference. Terry, because it's in our soul. We know it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. And Jesse, according to Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope John the 23rd called the council neither to define doctrines nor to reform the church, but to refresh it and bring about a new synthesis and unity of purpose that would be most ecumenical. Now, Jesse, I'm going to read on, but let me just throw something at you. I read, and from a very high official in the Vatican told me this, that when John the 23rd was dying and he was realizing that the council was being shipwrecked, okay, by modernists, on his deathbed, stop the council! Did you know that, Jesse?
I've read the same thing, too. I forget what sources, but they're pretty good sources.
Well, I got sources, several. It's not just one, but I have a Vatican diplomat who told me he knows one of the Vatican that was present when the Holy Father was dying, and he said that. So you see what I'm saying, Jesse, is it got shipwrecked because modernists got in there. Now, does that mean we don't take anything of Vatican? No! We take what is what we call the perennial teachings of the church, and we apply it. So, Jesse, you have to be honest with you. In that book, he talks about how many seminarians we had before the council, how many priests we had, and how hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of priests right after the council wanted to be laicized. The seminaries got emptied. Okay, is there a connection? In his book, he said, yes, there is.
Because what's skepticism, he says, started taking hold in the seminaries in the 60s.
That's
and they started emptying out seminaries and convents. Why? Because what happened is the liberal progressives in the church started pushing relativism
moral relativism.
The seminaries.
Yep.
And as a result of that, when people are saying, well, truth is up for grabs. Well, why should I be a priest? Why should I be a nun? It was relativism that started being taught. According to Ratzinger, I'm just going from the article. I'm just basically paraphrasing him. He's saying this is what emptied out the seminaries is the teaching of relativism. And he also says here in the article, likewise, we observe the rapid exodus of men from the priesthood. Why? Ratzinger comments.
Yep.
He says, such a man in the end can grow weary of resisting with his words and even more with his lifestyle, the seemingly so reasonable realities that are accepted as a matter of course and that characterize our culture. He also said that the decline in the sacrament of reconciliation, Ratzinger says, it seemed to be consistent with this decline among the priests of the sense of the sacred mystery of the presence of Christ in their lives. And I love what he says here. He goes, the old style of confession came to be displaced by a new conversation.
I highlighted that.
And more casual or therapeutic approach. Ratzinger emphasizes, rather, it is much more necessary that the priest be willing to remain in the background, thus leaving space for Christ, who alone can remit sins. And the old darkened box confessional seemed to put the shadow of the priest in the background, so that the priestly, when he says, "I, who absolves the sins of the penitent," gives space to the felt presence of Christ, who is the one that's really absolving our sins, instead of this therapeutic reconciliation room.
Yeah, see, what I really liked when he talked about the bishops' conference, this was new. When this happened, I was like, wow, he's authority. Because, we had all these conferences come up after the second.
And we keep having them, Terry.
Yeah, and here's what he said. These conferences have no collective binding authority over the church as a whole. Did you hear that, Jesse? I mean, didn't that?
I got it underlined.
I did too. It's all highlighted. He says that they have only a practical, concrete function. The practical and concrete function can sometimes get too complicated for its own good. Why? Thank you for saying it so simple. He says, as bishops quarrel among themselves. Hey, Jesse, do we have bishops quarreling about themselves like the bishops of Poland
and the bishops of Germany?
Yeah. Of course, this guy was prophetic.
Perfect example.
Yeah, exactly. But keep going, Jesse. That's a great part about the bishops.
Yeah. On the section of the problem with the bishops, it says, Ratzinger was firm on insisting that bishops exercise their apostolic duty according to their conscience.
Right.
And not according to the, and by the way, their conscience formed by the word of God. I'll
exactly.
Say that.
Informed conscience.
What he means. Yeah. That's what he means. Yeah. And not according to the prevailing winds of preference found among other bishops or society at large.
Well said.
Ratzinger noted that some bishops admit to following the lead of other bishops or even theologians and thus abandon their consecrated duty and authority to find the truth and proclaim it. And it says, the principle of orthodoxy that must prevail everywhere in the church and which principle the bishops are bound to defend.
Wow.
And so we have to remember that the bishops can be going on with, hey, what's new in theology? What's new in speculative theology?
Yeah.
Hey, what are they teaching in this university, that university? No. What has been taught everywhere? Always and believed by everyone, that's their apostolic duty to safeguard and to transmit that faith faithfully, not change it, not alter it, not modify it.
Well said. And Jesse, when we come back from the break, this is incredible what he said about the catechism and about catechesis. Remember, the catechism of the Catholic Church didn't come into the 90s. This is 1985. And here he's talking about the collapse of catechesis. Jesse, we'll talk after the break, but I remember as a young man, I was a teenager teaching kids the catechism. And you know what happened, brother? I was told, oh, we don't do that anymore. Throw away your Baltimore catechism. I was there. I saw it, Jesse. And what Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger said in 1985 just touched me. And I said, he's right. But you know, when you're young, Jesse, were you ever young and kind of like, you know, a little naive about what was going on?
Well, of course, Jay, because
I was there.
The sense of the faith tells us,
You
know, submit to lawful authority.
Of course.
And that's a good thing. That's part of the fourth commandment.
Yeah.
But there comes a point in time when you have to think like a man. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13,
exactly.
When I was a kid, I thought like a kid. But now that I'm a man, I think like a man. So, and Terry, we've seen stuff in the last 30 years that has basically said, okay, you know, we got to speak the truth in charity, clarity with charity.
You got it. We're going to talk more about catechesis with Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger's book, The Ratzinger Report, also about scripture and much, much more about ecumenism, about feminism, all kinds of stuff he talked in that book. Back in 1985, you might have not been aware of it, but man, I'll tell you what, it's prophetic for today. We'll be back with much more on The Terry and Jesse Show.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hey, clarity with charity. That's what we're all about. Speaking the truth in love. Terry, we're like, remember that cop program, Dragnet?
Of course, I watched Joe it all Friday. The time. Just
what
the
would
facts.
You say all the time?
Just the facts.
That's it. That's all we're just into facts. You know, we're not here. Don't get emotional. We love Jesus, and we just want to just share what's factual, not emotional. This is not some emotional secular show. It's a show based on Catholic facts. Terry, let's continue with Cardinal Ratzinger, the book, 1985, The Ratzinger Report, and some of the things that he said, which are prophetic, they still hold today.
Well, so, Jesse, I was just mentioning at the end of the break about shattered catechesis that went on.
What did he say?
Well, he just basically, the new habit among theologians of being creative has given rise to a collapse of catechesis. Mm. You know what we did, Jesse? We used to teach out of the catechism. Are you ready for this word? Serendipity. That's what they told us to teach. And so we would talk. I said, what's
that?
What the heck is that? Well, we just want to talk about Jesus as being your friend. What? Not Savior? Give me a break. Well, now, I wasn't too articulate. I was only a teenager when they told me that's what I do to teach people about Jesus. I said, wait a minute. That's one aspect. I get it. That, you know, Jesus is a friend. What about the fall? What about original sin? What about confession? What about the Eucharist? Oh, no, we don't teach that anymore. Jesse, I experience what Cardinal Ratzinger is saying, but he says we no longer do have a hermeneutic of whole catechesis by which the universal Catholic doctrine can be preached. Of course, he was talking about a catechism we need. Some passages of Scripture are emphasized while others are ignored, thus fragmenting what should be a whole and constant doctrine. You know what really fell apart on doctrine, Jesse? The Eucharist. Do you know what they told me when
that
I
was by, that was by design, Terry.
Exactly. And why do you think so few people today have a belief in the real presence? Because of poor catechesis.
Terry, I'm looking up the word serendipity.
What is it?
Serendipity means good fortune, good luck.
Well, that's what they told us we were going to give them. I said, what happened to Jesus?
Give them good luck, Jesus. Good fortune,
oh my
Jesus.
Gosh.
Yes. So I lived
through that. It was horrible.
Yeah. So this section, Terry, it says some passages of Scripture are emphasized while others are ignored.
Of course.
Thus fragmenting what should be a whole and consistent doctrine. I'll show you a classic example
give us
of that.
One. Yeah.
Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 32 has been taken out of the lectionary.
And why?
That's the section of the Bible that most clearly speaks in the New Testament about the dangers and the sinfulness of homosexuality.
Interesting.
That's no longer in the three-year lectionary of the Novus Ordo Missae. And so, again, this is what Cardinal Ratzinger was talking about back then.
Yep.
That they're going to... And I'll tell you another section that's ignored. You've never... Ephesians 5:21-31, wives, surrender to your husbands. That one's always bracketed, Terry. It's bracketed. So who's ever reading the gospel, they won't read that because it's like in brackets.
All the time. I laugh.
It's like, don't read that.
They do. And there's priests today that I've been at mass where they just disregard it. It's just, they don't want to. You know what, Jesse? Here's the bottom line. What Cardinal Ratzinger said about a catechesis is that we just threw out the catechism. And we replaced it with psychology. We replaced it with...
And feel good. Serendipity means feel good.
Exactly.
Good luck. Good fortune. Yeah. And he says here, this absence, Cardinal Ratzinger, absence of real catechesis can only end with Catholics poorly informed about what the church teaches. And he also talks about in the book about doubting Scripture. This is huge.
This is the big section.
This is what got Dr. Scott Hahn's hair to raise on his neck when he came into the Catholic Church.
Yep.
He saw all the rich teachings of biblical Catholic Christianity.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, this is not being taught anywhere. So he started his whole thing called the Saints Paul Institute, saying, let's teach 2,000 years of biblical Christianity, relying on the hermeneutics of the fathers of the church and the medieval scholastics. And Ratzinger says here, he says, the decline of faith in doubting scripture, what happens? We doubt in the divinity of Jesus.
Not
among
only that,
some Catholic theologians.
Continue, Jesse, some other things too.
He says also, as if the Arian heresy of the fourth century had returned to undermine true Christology. It's back. Cardinal Ratzinger says it's back again. He says, doubts arising, too, regarding the real presence.
We've experienced that.
We've seen that the last 40 years. We've been trying to fight that against the
modern. Our Lady, too,
the
Jesse.
Virginity of Mary.
Yep.
We even have statements from high people in the Vatican basically denigrating Our Lady.
Oh, Jess, you're getting me mad.
The reality of Adam and Eve and original sin, that's gone out the window.
Of course.
We talk now about psychology. And you'll have people that just deny that. That historical account.
Yeah, the Jesus movement, you know, the resurrection. Yeah.
The resurrection of Jesus, the Jesus movement. A lot of Catholic supposed scholars were in there. Terry, this is the stuff, this is called demythologizing.
You nailed it. You called it what it is, Jess.
And this is what Cardinal Ratzinger warned us started happening post-Vatican II.
My wife was in school, in college, when she was getting that. And Jess, I don't mean to bring your old alma mater here in Los Angeles. But who was that? Did they teach you really
Mount what? Mount St. Mary's College in Los Angeles.
What did they teach you about the inspired word of God and your brother Johnny? Go ahead.
Oh, Terry.
It was brutal.
They just said in a nutshell, it's full of errors. It doesn't comport with actual history, and you can't take most of these verses seriously. You can't take them historically. Most of them are just have no historical foundation. The miracles, these things are just poetic expressions to try to make you feel good. That's what I learned at Mount St. Mary's. That's what Johnny learned at Loyola University.
And that's why
Los Angeles.
And that's why so few people stick with the Catholic faith, because the teachers didn't give them the faith. And you know what? Cardinal Ratzinger also said, people like Teilhard de Chardin, he sees our perfection as some kind of natural evolutionary movement towards human betterment. That's garbage. And have been seduced to repudiate the very essence of Christianity, which is to rely upon Christ's death on the cross as proof that we are to be saved from our fallen state. It is necessary to abandon oneself to love. See, Jesse, they forgot the salvation of Jesus Christ. They act like, oh, well, that's just a story. It doesn't necessarily mean it happened. Oh, you mean Adam and Eve, you still believe in that? Come on, wake up. See, Jess, this has been going on for decades, and Cardinal Ratzinger called it in 1985, and it's still going on, brother.
Teilhard de Chardin was a Jesuit. He was a modernist before
Big
Vatican
time.
II. And he's the one that influenced the modernists at Vatican II. And he was huge in promoting the cosmic Christ and the evolution
of man.
And, you know, so he says the way you become better is not through the cross, not relying upon the cross. It happens through a natural evolutionary process. We got a whole movement called the Human Potential Movement that just was an offspring of Teilhard de Chardin. Another thing that Cardinal Ratzinger talks about as a huge problem was he saw the creeping of moral relativism.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Which ended up promoting so-called liberation theology. He says that there wasn't any doubt for Ratzinger that even before Vatican II, some Catholic theologians had moved from a liberal to a permissive view of morality.
Yeah.
And the dominant culture back in the 60s, the sexual revolution hit the American landscape. So the dominant culture, which is hardly Christian, has exerted an influence on Catholic theologians in the 60s who aligned themselves with this whole 60s rebellion. The 60s, you know, we've got to change. And for some theologians, reason usurps the age-old teachings of the magisterium. Just as it usurped the warning of God in the Garden of Eden when the serpent persuaded Adam and Eve that God reasoned to deny them equality with him by denying them the fruit of the tree. And so the serpent's reasoning became theirs. And so for a lot of these modernists, Terry, they rely on reason alone.
Right.
That's their guide, but that's not the best guide.
Nope.
And that's not the sure guide to morality. You need faith to purify reason.
Exactly.
The modernists believe in reason alone.
Jesse, I know we're running out of time, but I can't forget about this section, the devil and his trial. Cardinal Ratzinger rejected certain modern theologians' views that the devil is not a person, but a metaphor for evil. Pope Paul VI cited in his authoritative remarks, "The devil is the enemy number one, the source of all temptation. Thus we know this dark and destructive being really exists and is still active. He is sophisticated perversion of man's moral." Let's see, where is it, Jesse? I'm following it. Oh, he's saying that he's the seducer who knows how to penetrate us through the senses of imagination, desire. This is exactly what Jesus 911 teaches every day. And here's what he quotes in the book, that the devil is everywhere. And Pope Paul VI said this. We've quoted it for years, Jesse, in the summer of 72. The smoke of Satan has entered the temple of the church through some cracks of others. Now, Jesse, I want you to take the rest of this section on Satan, because I'm going to tell you there are prelates right now that don't believe that there's a devil. And let's just be honest with everybody. If you don't believe in the devil, then what is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for? Continue.
Look right behind Terry's right shoulder. That action of the crucifixion is meaningless if there's not a devil.
Yeah.
You know who actually said this? St. John Paul II. I got a quote in my last book.
Good.
He says, "Those who do not believe in the devil do not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ," St. John Paul II. That's pretty clear. The second paragraph says, Ratzinger comments further, there are already signs of the return of these dark powers. Mm-hmm. But he's saying this in 85.
I know.
He's saying, and satanic cults are spreading more and more in the secularized world. Wow.
35 years ago, he said that.
And we're seeing an explosion of Satanism right now.
It sure is, Jeff.
He warned us about this 35 years ago. It says, Ratzinger's position is that the more recent theologians who have tried to turn Satan into an abstract concept or force rather than a person, one, are dead wrong.
Yep.
The evangelists had it right when they present demons as personal beings in the gospel,
right,
and no amount of fancy theological footwork can change that. Terry, a study was done in 1974.
Yeah.
In Germany, and they asked prelates around the world, I think like 1,500 bishops, priests, cardinals, do you believe in the devil?
Don't tell me the results. Wait till the break comes. You're going to be shocked when you hear this one. I remember that, Jesse. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. You know, even though we have to talk about these things, you notice we have hope. You know why? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We come back, Jesse will give you the results of a survey about prelates and the belief in the devil, yes or no? You'll be shocked when we come back to give you that information. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is Terry Barber, and Myra Brown is with me. Myra, welcome.
Hi, Terry. I am so happy to be here with you today because I am up to something that I think you'll find very interesting.
Tell me, what is it, Myra?
Well, I want to give away a DVD, your famous 3-hour talk about how to share your faith with everyone. And do you know how I'm going to do it?
Tell me.
Well, me and my friend Annie Jo are calling everybody to talk about monthly donations because that is how we keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
And so every person that answers either our email or answers our phone call will get that talk.
And they can get it by calling 877-526-2151. And just tell us how you heard about it, because I really am excited about Myra's project, because we want to have Virgin Most Powerful in every state in the union.
Yep, and we're going to do it with your help. So answer the phone call, answer that email, and I look forward to getting your prayer intention then.
God love you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others. Jesus said in Luke 7.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This program is rated PG, praise God. Hey, by the way, this week I'm going to be in the Diocese of Tucson, Arizona.
Good.
Casa Grande. If you want to, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, giving some talks in Spanish on spiritual warfare, living in a state of grace. Also giving the same talks in English on Saturday. So if you want to get some soul food, I'll see you this weekend, Friday and Saturday, over at Casa Grande. It's actually St. Anthony of Padua Church and Casa Grande in the Diocese of Tucson, Arizona. So, Terry, we're talking about a statistic.
Right. Let's set the stage, Jesse. There's a survey, 1974.
Okay, well, first of all, Cardinal Ratzinger told us 35 years ago that satanic cults are spreading more and more.
Right.
And the world's becoming more secular with the return of these dark satanic powers.
Right.
So today, 35 years later, have things gotten better? He warned us.
No, just worse.
Pope Paul VI and Joseph Ratzinger warned us about Satan and the diabolical coming into society and the church.
Yep.
So have we geared up for this? Well, not everybody. In 1974, a study was done in Germany. 1,500 prelates were interviewed, and they were asked if they believe in the reality of the devil. You'd figure 100% are going to say, of course we believe that there's a devil. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in the catechism. It's part of the apostolic tradition. Mm-hmm. Guess what? One out of three Catholic clergy says, nope, there's no devil. That's a myth. That's not true. That's fantasy. Okay? Wow. That's just folklore.
That's sad.
So that's 33% of our generals and our officers that are guiding the church militant that don't believe in the enemy. Now, lay people were asked a while ago. This another study was done about 5 years ago by Georgetown University. They have a very respected survey department called the CARA Institute. Mm-hmm. It's used by all the media. They're very respected in terms of their accuracy.
Right.
And they asked lay Catholics across the country, hey, do you believe in the devil? 1,500 lay Catholics across the country. 17% of Catholics in the survey said, yeah, we believe that there's a devil, which means that basically 4 out of 5 Catholics believe the devil is a myth.
And you wonder why we're in trouble?
Yes. Yeah.
Keep going, Jesse. That's something that you've been really pushing hard.
That's why we do a program on this network called Jesus 911.
Yes.
Where we talk about the reality of spiritual warfare from a Catholic position, because I'll tell you, Hollywood's jumped into the fray and they've put in all these TV series on paranormal activity, haunted house, sci-fi series.
Right.
And the reason I started this show, because a lot of Catholics are getting bad teaching, or what I would say false catechesis, from these Hollywood TV series. So I'm doing a Monday through Friday program here on Virgin Most Powerful with two other retired LA cops. And we're going through what the church actually teaches. We're giving proper catechesis. So
if you can listen to it,
get the app and you can get the show. And I'm telling
you, your phone.
We talk about possession, exorcism. We talk about seances, Ouija boards, all the things that people are curious about.
Great.
About how to protect yourself from the diabolical. Hey, got a phone call.
Dr. Ed Mazza, Bar of History. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
God bless you, brothers. Keep fighting the good fight.
Amen. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, you know, you're talking about Cardinal Ratzinger.
Yes, we are.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys hear the latest from Archbishop Vigano?
Yes.
Spoken out again.
Yes,
well, share it. Share it.
Go ahead.
I haven't read the article. I've got it in front of me.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah. So, it's been published on LifeSite. And apparently he's taking issue with Monsignor Ganschwein.
The secretary.
And he says that he's not treating, the elderly Pope Benedict properly.
Right. That's what we heard.
That's a surprise.
No, that we were speculating that, Dr. Ed. So,
Dr. Ed, when I was a cop, I used to arrest people for something called elderly abuse. I saw this mm-hmm. all the time, and it's very common. And this doesn't surprise me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we have to double down on our prayers mm-hmm. for Papa Benedetto, because it seems like that certain people in the Vatican, and maybe J.R. Ganschwein in particular, are manipulating his words and trying to take words that he said away from him. You know, that they're trying to say that he didn't co-author that book, you know?
Yes. Dr. Ed, I don't mean to switch gears, but I know you're working on promoting a film. Can you tell us a little bit about that in these few minutes we have left?
Oh, I appreciate that, Terry. Yes. Well, you know, everybody who's concerned about faith and science mm-hmm. should go out and watch this movie that's going to be in theaters.
What is it called?
Here in L.A. It's called The End of Quantum Reality.
Interesting.
And it's about a Catholic philosopher of science, Dr. Wolfgang Smith. Mm-hmm. This guy's a genius. He's already forgotten, like, more than I will ever know.
That's a good one.
And he basically argues that, you know, for the last 400 years, scientists have been trying to keep God out of the equation, so to speak.
Right.
And they've tried to describe everything that happens in the world, like, from the ground up, from particles or slime or whatever. And basically, in his books, Dr. Wolfgang Smith says how that's not even scientifically accurate. I can't really do justice to the movie, you know, in the space I have right now.
No,
but
just,
I did write a review of it.
How did they
on
get
Catholic
that?
World Report?
Excellent publication.
So if you, so you go to Catholic World Report and just search Maza, my review of the film will come up.
But excellent.
I did want to let people know that it's going to premiere at the let me get the exact location for it. It's going to be in Hollywood starting Friday
mm-hmm.
at the Archlight. Excuse me, Arena Cine Lounge on Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, for those in Southern California, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Well, Dr. Ed, I want to
thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to call in and weigh in on this, and thanks for that information about Pope Benedict the 16th Emeritus, about some of the issues there. It wouldn't surprise me, but I thank you so much for your call, brother. Appreciate it.
You got it, brother.
God love you.
We got to keep praying for him, Terry, because I'm going to tell you what's very common, and I've seen this. You could talk to Ruben, Eddie. This is very common. Elderly abuse is one of the most underreported crimes that happens.
Well, what can you do when
there?
You're feeble and you can't even move, Jesse? There's going to come a time when you and I hope, you know, we have our family that's going to take care of us.
Exactly.
You don't, you know, you want to have us. I mean, look at these rest homes. You know, you see it all the time. There's abuse there.
Yes. So,
well, wrap it up, Jess.
Yeah, I just want to just say,
what about
we didn't get to the other article, but that's fine. We'll get to it next week. I just want to mention, if you can read it, go to our website or my website and Virgin Most Powerful or Jesse Romero.
Can I just throw in one more thing about ecumenism? Because I think it's an important thing that he had to say at the Ratzinger Report. He said the subject of ecumenism that arose out of Vatican II, Ratzinger was clear. He said ecumenism must not mean watering down Catholicism. Jesse, that is so profound, because that's exactly what it has been, just the opposite, where, oh, you guys believe this, we believe, that's okay, it doesn't really matter what you believe, we're all God's children. Have you never heard that, Jesse? Give me a break. He said that watering down Catholicism so that Protestants and Catholics could get nearer to each other, through some Catholic theologians seem to have adopted this posture, going down the path will only get us further away from true ecumenism. I just wanted to make sure we got that pushed in, because, you know, false ecumenism is alive and well.
Well, let me just mention another thing that we should get in, liberation theology.
Get it in, okay? Yes.
It says, by the year of Ratzinger's interview, liberation theology had become a topic of controversy among theologians.
Right.
And Ratzinger did not hold back.
Good.
Liberation theology was viewed, especially in South America, as a theology to be preached for human liberation from poverty and want.
Yeah.
What the Dominicans and Jesuits had not counted on, apparently, was what the Marxists would be the competing liberators from poverty and want.
And that's what happened.
So liberation theology of the Marxists had been dedicated in Europe to liberating the human soul from God and religion. So Marxism had failed on a fundamental level. And so now had moved its locus of activity to South America. So when we read liberation theologians in South America, this is what Ratzinger was disappointed to hear. He says, it is also painful to be confronted with the illusion, so essentially unchristian, which is present amongst priests and theologians, he's talking about in South America,
yep,
that a new man and a new world order can be created, not by calling each individual person to conversion to Christ, but only by changing the social and economic structures. For it is precisely personal sin that is in reality at the root of these unjust social structures. But Ratzinger sees as much a moral failure also in the opulent West,
that's right,
as he sees in third world countries.
Amen.
They too need a theology of liberation to Christ, as Ratzinger puts it. He says, criticizing the opulent West apart from God, he'll say, there's a sign of the satanic in the way in which people exploit the market for pornography and drugs in the West. And there's something diabolical in the cold-blooded perversity which man has corrupted for the sake of money and profit drawn from his weakness, his temptability and vulnerability in the face of temptation. Western culture is hellish when it persuades men that the sole aim of life is pleasure and self-interest. And so I love the honest criticism.
Big time.
Marxism is not compatible with Catholicism, but also remember all the things about Jesus talking about the rich young man.
Unbridled.
You want to be
capitalism.
Rich without God.
That's right.
That's also a godless way to live, Terry.
Well, it's unbridled capitalism. Jesse, I want to encourage people to go to Ignatius Press to get the book. I mean, it will inspire you. I read that book 30 years ago when it came out, and I'm telling you, it kept me focused on Jesus Christ. Not on man, not on, you know, liberalism, not on a false gospel, not on fake news, but on the word of Jesus Christ.
Fake news.
Yeah, fake news. And Jess, I just want to encourage people to get the book. Now, tomorrow, Jesse's going to be out, but I'm going to have a special guest, Father Charles Murr, on. We're going to be talking.
Outstanding.
Yep, people like him. And also, we're going to talk.
No filter in that mouth.
No, it's nice to have a priest who speaks the truth with clarity and charity. Jesse, where are you going to be again this weekend?
I'm going to be in Casa Grande, St. Anthony of Padua Church in Tucson, Arizona, Friday night and Saturday during the daytime.
Excellent.
Giving talks on how to live in a state of grace and protect your family from the diabolical.
Well said. Well, Jesse, I'm going to ask you one more time, brother, before I ask you what state we should be living in. Always, Cardinal Ratzinger report, I bet you he would say high five to us if we said, talk to him about the five stones of King David.
Oh,
tell us again what we should be doing every day as a follower of Christ.
Okay, 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to go to that, the story of King David, or the boy David versus Goliath. Yeah, it wasn't even King David yet.
No, just a little,
boy. Just the boy David. The fact of the matter is, he used five stones, right, to take down Goliath.
Big Goliath.
All right. So we got five stones also. And here are the five stones that we have to apply in the third millennium. Number one, pray the rosary every day and pray it with your heart.
Amen.
From your heart.
Check.
Number
mark.
Two, go to Mass as often as possible.
Check.
Okay? Check that off. And go to visit Jesus. Pay visits to the Blessed Sacrament as often as possible. And definitely sign up for a weekly holy hour. That's not asking too much. Number three, read the Bible every day. Very simple. Mass readings. You walk through the Bible in 3 years. First reading, responsorial psalm, gospel. Read the Bible every day. Fourth, fasting. I'm doing Wednesdays and Friday fast. But hey, the church just asks us to do it Friday. Every Friday is supposed to be a day of penance. Use Friday as a day of fasting. You want to go old school, do Wednesdays and Fridays. Five, monthly confession. But if you got mortal sin, go ASAP. Terry?
Hey, don't forget, we got Holy Hour for the priest tonight at 7 to 9 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.